Hello, world. I'm John Laws. What's on your mind, Australia? Well, as I said Wednesday morning, the Catholic Church stands condemned by its stupid refusal to dump Adelaide Archbishop Philip Wilson after he was sentenced to 12 months jail yesterday for concealing child sex abuse. Now, look, I know that some of the diehards are going to say, well, it's not for the Catholic Church to make a call, but at the very least, they should be leaning on this fella to resign. On the line, we have Father Frank Brennan. Father, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you and your listeners.
Okay. Look, this is a mess. Why doesn't this fella step down?
Sure. I've been saying that for some time.
You've been saying that?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, good on you. Well, why doesn't he?
I don't know. It goes back a long way, John. In fact, as long as 4 years ago, I was suggesting to him that he should step down or step aside while matters were dealt with, you know, back when Margaret Killeen was doing the inquiry.
Yes.
And I think, all right, step aside until you've got a conviction and a sentencing. But once he's been sentenced, then, yes, I think it's essential that he go. Now, yes, as you've been suggesting, under the canon law of the Catholic Church, basically, bishops, they're a bit like old-style feudal princes. You know, they're in charge of themselves. They're
yes.
Not the board of a company. So under the canon law as it exists, basically the way it would work is that he would be expected to submit his resignation and then it would be up to the Pope to receive it. But I think if it goes on too much longer, there'll be a need for the Vatican to take some action.
Do you
One
think...
of the things is that I have no doubt that, you know, the other bishops in Australia, you wouldn't hear them saying that he should stay. But then again, you don't hear them come out publicly saying he should go, and that's part of the problem.
That is part of the problem. Well, it's a whole lot of the problem. Why don't they come out and say he should go? You say it. Why can't others say it?
Well, it's usually not the way of bishops, but I think one of the wake-up calls of the Royal Commission has been, look, hang on, those old ways of doing things are no longer good enough, and yes, there's got to be better transparency and better accountability within the upper ranks of the Catholic Church.
Something that really bothers me, and has bothered me for a long time, and I've talked about it frequently, is that if a man goes to confession and confesses to you or any other Catholic priest that he has done wrong, particularly in relation to a child, that remains between the priest and the confessor. Now, why isn't that information passed on to police?
Well, I think basically, John, I mean, from my experience, having been 32 years a priest, and I was, you know, 15 years or so there at King's Cross, basically people don't come and confess child sexual abuse. And the way confession works in the Catholic Church, there's always the option, of course, where you can come behind a screen and be anonymous. Now, what we have learned from the Royal Commission is that child abusers tend to be fairly secretive and not very disclosing. Now, just ask yourself, if you were a child abuser and you thought you do want to go to confession and you've got a choice of either doing it anonymously behind a screen where you won't be identified or being identified, which would you choose? So I respect all of those who say, look, we've got to look at this seal of the confessional, but I think it's a bit of a furphy when it comes to the protection of children because it just doesn't happen.
Well, it doesn't happen, but people who abuse children are generally not very nice people. They're not desirable individuals.
Sure. Yeah. But the practical question, John, is given that child abusers don't tend to come to confession now, even where there is the seal of the confessional, how much more likely is it that they will come to confession once it is said that there's no seal of the confessional? So all I'm saying is child abusers don't come to confession anyway. If they do want to come, they can come behind a grill and be anonymous. But if you take away the seal of the confessional, is there any more chance that you'll have a child abuser being revealed? I don't think there will be. So basically, I respect those who say, oh, you know, we've got to change this law. But those who say we want to change this law, I think are those who don't have any practical experience of how confession works in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, it's a very difficult area, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't, in that, as I say, I think it's a pretty simple issue in that it's not a main game issue in terms of the protection of children. And definitely in terms of the Catholic Church, the big things have got to be in terms of the change of the culture, better institutional accountability, and ensuring that you've got the reporting provisions in place in your schools and your parishes. All I'm saying is the confession thing, I think, is a furphy. And to put it another way, if people want to focus so much on the confession thing, it almost leaves you thinking, oh, well, everything else in the Catholic Church must now be okay. And it's not all okay. And let's look at the real issues in order to ensure that children are made safer.
Okay, Father, you said an interesting thing there when you said it's not all okay. What else isn't okay?
I think what else isn't okay is that where you had, before the Royal Commission, 60% of those who came forward saying that they'd been abused in some religious institution were within the Catholic Church. And so, where we run so many schools and have so many parishes and so many welfare services, there is a need to ensure that we've got absolute best practice. And so, it's the changing of the culture and it's getting those safeguards in place which is important. Now, I think, you know, as a church, as an institution, we've been working on that since 1996, but it's still, as with all institutions, a work in progress.
Do you agree that this is damaging to the Catholic Church?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the key thing about what a church should be is providing the message of Jesus of Nazareth, who basically said, how dare you abuse people who are poor and vulnerable, and particularly children? And how do you provide the worshipping communities where people can come together in love and trust where there's been this sort of thing which has gone on in the past? And so we've got to be out there saying, yes, we needed the help of the state to get this cleaned up. We've got to be out there being seen to do something. So when you say to me there's still things to be done, let me name one in particular. I mean, the Catholic Church, we did set up this Truth, Justice, Healing Council. I think it did an excellent job with people like Francis Sullivan.
Yes.
These were lay people. They weren't bishops. They put in a long report to the bishops. I think it's essential that those reports be published and that we be able to discuss even the controversial issues that they may have raised in those reports. Now, at the moment, that's not being done by our bishops, and I think that's regrettable.
Does Philip Wilson suffer from Alzheimer's? There's been some story about that.
Well, I don't know. I presume he does, in that there's been, as I understand it, medical evidence put before the court to that effect.
Mm.
But
it wouldn't confirm me
in the view that, of course, he has to resign, in that how can you do the job as an archbishop if you've got the early onset of Alzheimer's?
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. Surely that would negate his ability to be a bishop anyway, wouldn't it?
I would have thought so, yes.
So it's a bit of a mess.
It is a mess. Absolutely. And that's why I've been prepared to say publicly, yes, I'm a Catholic priest, yes, I'm the CEO of Catholic Social Services Australia. Do I think that the Archbishop of Adelaide should resign? Yes, I think he should. And I think that yesterday would have been the day to do it. And I think every day that goes by when it's not done, it creates further problems for the church. And I think, let's face it, there's absolutely no way he's going to come back as the Archbishop of Adelaide. So let's get this done and let's start to move on constructively, trying to rebuild an institution where we're committed to ensuring that every child is safe.
Yeah, how pleasant it is for me to be able to talk to a man who's not afraid to speak the truth. And what you're saying is absolutely the truth. I've spoken to a lot of Catholic priests and they seem to put the church before anything else. You refreshingly aren't doing that.
I might say I think it's the great thing about the present Pope Francis. You know, he says, look, truth, justice, love, mercy and joy. That's what we're about. Anything else is nonsense. Get rid of it.
I think the new Pope's terrific.
Yeah. I have to boast, of course, he's a Jesuit like me.
Oh, fine people they are.
Well, I hope so.
I think they are. Can you see any further prosecutions in the future?
I don't know. I presume there could be some, although, I mean, if you go back and look at the Margaret Cunneen, you know, report
yes.
that was done up there in Newcastle, Maitland, she said, you know, there were other people like the Bishop Malone up there and some of the other priests who knew things, but she said on the evidence available to her that none of them would be prosecuted for this sort of thing and that we knew there was a confidential Volume 4 which largely related to Archbishop Wilson. So he was seen to be something of a one-off, but I have no doubt there'll still be things out of the Royal Commission where things were done in the past which would not be done in that way today. And so whether or not there are matters subject to prosecution, we'll have to see. The other thing I suppose to emphasise, John, is, I mean, there's a lot of legal gobbledygook in what went on with Philip Wilson.
Yeah.
And that is because he was prosecuted under a provision called Section 316 of the New South Wales Crimes Act. Now, that was only brought in 1990, but the New South Wales Law Reform Commission, as long ago as 1999, said the provision should be scrapped because it was so vague and meaningless. And now the New South Wales Parliament is putting through a new 316A, which is far more sensible in dealing with abuse. So I think once we get that legislation cleaned up, we'll avoid a lot of the mess that we've seen with the very prolonged prosecution of Wilson.
Father, are you going to be in trouble with the church for speaking out as you have?
Oh, look, I get into trouble from time to time, John, but I've just been recently in Rome and I met with some of the senior people over there, and I know, I mean, there are some people in the Australian church who send complaints to Rome about me, but, you know, I've been in the game a long time and I'm getting to an age, you know, I'm 64 now. I find now even the new archbishops of Sydney and Melbourne are younger than I am. So basically I say to myself, we've just got to be out there proclaiming the message fearlessly and doing it with love and mercy.
64? Father, you're just a boy.
I am. There's, well, you can say that, John.
Father, I've enjoyed talking to you and I hope we get the opportunity to talk again.
Thanks indeed. Happy to do it. See ya.
Thank you very much. What a refreshing priest that one is.